From Miami Beach, this is NBC Nightly News, Friday, July 14th, reported by John Chancellor.
Good evening. Just before 3 o'clock this morning in Miami Beach, the Democrats stopped beating up on each other, and one of the most remarkable political conventions in history came to an end. The nominee was George McGovern, the unconventional senator from South Dakota, who won it with an army of disciplined young people who talked new politics and played old politics. The vice presidential nominee was Thomas Eagleton, a flabbergasted young senator from Missouri, a moderate to liberal Catholic from a border state. McGovern attracts the young and people who want change. Eagleton is stronger with labor and old-line Democrats. It is a classically balanced ticket. It came together this morning on the podium in this hall with a fiery benediction from Senator Edward Kennedy.
Well, there is a new wind rising over the land, starting faintly amid the plains and rocky hills of South Dakota. It spread its gathering momentum to New Hampshire and Wisconsin and Massachusetts, sweeping across the nation to California and back to Pennsylvania, to New York, and now to Miami. In it can be heard the many things, promises, anguish, hopes for the future, echoes of the past, even our most cherished prayer. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. That prayer is our promise. And how fortunate we are. How fortunate is America to find that promise in the wise and skillful hands of our leader, the senator from South Dakota and the next president of the United States, George McGovern. to anyone in this hall or beyond who doubts the ability of Democrats to join together in common cause, I say never underestimate the power of Richard Nixon to bring harmony to Democratic ranks. He is the unwitting unifier and the fundamental issue of this national campaign. And all of us are going to help him redeem a pledge he made 10 years ago that next year you won't have Richard Nixon to kick around anymore. I have no secret plan for peace. I have a public plan. And as one whose heart has ached for the past 10 years over the agony of Vietnam, I will halt the senseless bombing of Indochina on inaugural day. Be no more Asian children running ablaze from bombed out schools. There will be no more talk of bombing the dikes or the cities of the North. And within 90 days of my inauguration, every American soldier and every American prisoner will be out of the jungle and out of their cells and back home in America where they belong. Let us resolve that never again will we send the precious young blood of this country to die trying to prop up a corrupt military dictatorship abroad. So join with me in this campaign. Lend Senator Eagleton and me your strength and your support, and together we will call America home to the ideals that nourished us from the very beginning. From secrecy and deception in high places, come home, America. From military spending so wasteful that it weakens our nation, come home, America. From the entrenchment of special privilege and tax favoritism, from the waste of idle hands to the joy of useful labor, from the prejudice based on race and sex, from the loneliness of the aging poor and the despair of the neglected sick, come home, America. Come home to the affirmation that we have a dream. Come home to the conviction that we can move our country forward. Come home to the belief that we can seek a newer world. And let us be joyful in the homecoming. For this land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
The Democrats held their convention early this year, and they will begin their presidential campaign early in 2 weeks before the Republicans come here to renominate Richard Nixon. The historical odds are that they won't make it. The only incumbent president in recent years who lost an election was Herbert Hoover. On the other hand, the odds were against George McGovern getting the nomination, and he got it. So who can tell what will happen in November?
This is NBC Nightly News, brought to you by Primatene Mist and Primatene Tablets. Fast relief, long-lasting relief for attacks of bronchial asthma. Primatene Mist and Tablets.
Here's the fastest relief known for bronchial asthma attacks. Restores free breathing as fast as 15 seconds. It's Primatene Mist. Or to keep breathing freely for hours, take Primatene Tablets. In the lungs, Primatene opens clogged breathing tubes, relaxes bronchial spasms, restores free breathing in and out. That's Primatene Mist, the fastest relief known, or Primatene Tablets, with the asthma relievers doctors prescribe most.
Nothing is more embarrassing than having your dentures slip. I know. I wear dentures myself. So when I bit into something hard, I worried. But I found Confident, a plastic formula denture adhesive. They guarantee Confident holds tighter, longer, better than anything you've used. If you don't agree, return it to them for your money back. Get Confident. Stop worrying about your dentures.
Big or little, short or shaggy, all dogs suffer with fleas. The Hart's 90-day collar ends that suffering. Just put the collar on, and for 3 months it kills fleas dead, from his nose to his tail. And remember, fleas can torture cats too. Give them the same excellent flea protection with the Hart's Mountain 90-Day Collar for Cats. For dogs or cats, the Hart's 90-Day Collar really works.
Hot pancakes and syrup. A little butter. That's over 500 calories. If you're watching your weight, maybe you're cutting out the butter. The pancakes, too. But don't cut out the vitamins they contain. Serve Total Cereals. Both Original and Corn Total have more vitamins than any other cereals, plus iron. So if you're cutting calories, remember Total. Both Original and Corn. Total watches your vitamins while you watch your weight.
George McGovern gave himself a couple of hours of sleep this morning and then set out to take control of the machinery of the Democratic Party. The first thing he did was to see to it that Mrs. Jean Westwood of Utah was named chairman of the Democratic National Committee to replace Lawrence O'Brien. No woman has ever been chairman of the National Committee of either the Democratic or Republican Party. Basil Patterson, a New York State senator and a black, was named vice chairman. Jack Perkins has a report on McGovern's day.
What has been billed as a unit.
Senator McGovern went out this morning to whip up Democratic unity. But after last night, Democrats were already whipped. Many who were supposed to be at the campaign breakfast this morning stayed in bed. For those who were there, it was a sleepy way to start a campaign.
We do have our financial problems, but we've got millions of people out there that are ready to invest in this party. We've got principles that are based on the interest of the ordinary people of this country that we're ready to put forward, and I'm convinced that that's the combination that's not only going to unify us, but that will take us to victory in November of this year.
Senator Eagleton was going around with McGovern this morning.
I interviewed this old classmate of mine, and he said, Gail, how did he do in high school? He said, did pretty well. He copied off my paper.
This was the pleasant, the easy part of what was happening today, but there was also the tough part. For on this day, George McGovern was effectively seizing control of the party organization. National Chairman Larry O'Brien, despite what he said publicly, did not want to resign. McGovern wanted him to, so that McGovern could have his own chairman in charge. Well, that is what happened, though it's not the way it sounded as they went before the Democratic National Committee this afternoon.
We've talked for the past 2 hours. We've gone over every aspect of this problem, and I want to tell you as straightforwardly as I can that he's reached a judgment that he will not stay on as the chairman of our party. I respect his wishes. I regret it, but I respect those wishes, and it's on that basis that I'm going to put forward as a recommendation for our chairman, a member of this committee, a member of its executive board, a person who represents the new force of women in American political life, and I suggest for your consideration, Mrs. Jean Westwood of the state of Utah.
Jean Westwood has been a vice chairman of the McGovern campaign this year. It was she who led the successful McGovern fight on the California credentials this week. She is considered a most able politician, and now she is the national chairman of the Democratic Party. Senator McGovern left Miami Beach this afternoon to go back to the Black Hills of South Dakota to rest, to reorganize his campaign staff, to work on campaign plans. Then, in about 2 or 3 weeks, before the Republicans have even held their convention, the Democrats will begin the campaign. Jack Perkins, NBC News, Miami Beach.
A campaign was started today to run George Wallace again for president as a third-party candidate. In California, William Shearer, a high official in Wallace's old National American Party, as it was called in California, said he expects the party to nominate Wallace at its convention next month. He had no idea whether Wallace would accept. In New York, the Courage Party, the party for which Wallace ran in that state 4 years ago, soon will circulate petitions to put him on the New York ballot. Wallace himself said nothing today as he left for Birmingham, Alabama, and a hospital in which he will undergo rehabilitation. Rebecca Bell has a report.
Leaving his hotel, Governor Wallace told reporters he has no political statements to make at this time. He's just concentrating on regaining his strength.
What's on your mind at this point?
Well, what's on my mind at this time is to go to the rehabilitation clinic and learn to be able to be independent, getting around, and then going back to the governor's office in Alabama.
Well, Governor, what do you feel you accomplished at the convention? Most of the views for the platform were defeated.
Well, I think you heard many candidates talk about tax relief, tax reform, talk about the national defense, talk about law and order. You heard many things said at this convention that you might not have heard said had I not been involved to show that the majority of the people in the country felt that way. So I felt we accomplished quite a bit, and I enjoyed seeing all you fellas, and come to see us in Alabama, because I'm still alive and still kicking.
So, while Governor Wallace lost every battle on the convention floor, his platform fight, his own nomination, Wallace leaves Miami feeling he did accomplish something, and he leaves Miami still a Democrat. Rebecca Bell, NBC News, at Wallace headquarters in Miami.
In Tallahassee, Florida today, a federal grand jury indicted 6 members of the Vietnam Veterans Against the War on charges of conspiring to disrupt the Republican National Convention in Miami Beach next month. The jury had been looking into the matter for a week. Today, it said the 6 veterans had plotted, in the words of the indictment, to maliciously damage and destroy, by means of explosive devices, buildings and persons at the convention. The veterans claimed the government is trying to keep them away from the convention by harassing them.
I've never been happier The kids are doing well. We have a beautiful grandchild. Charlie and I spend more time together than ever, and he still treats me in that very special way. It really pays to take care of yourself. I exercise, eat right, and be sure I get enough iron and vitamins. I take Geritol every morning. Charlie does too.
Geritol, more than twice the iron of ordinary supplements, plus 7 vitamins. Take care of yourself. Take Geritol.
Honey, you're incredible.
V-E-N-T-U-R-A, Ventura. Ventura.
It's a low-priced car.
It's a prestige car.
Ventura's a low-priced car.
With prestige.
Pontiac Ventura.
Right. From Pontiac.
Pontiac.
Ventura's the low-priced compact car from Pontiac.
V-E-N-T-U-R-A.
Ventura's a cut above.
Ventura.
John Connally was at the Western White House today to report to President Nixon on the world tour he has just made. Connally returned on Tuesday, but his visit there was delayed. He was there 2 days after the Democratic Party, his own party, had nominated George McGovern, which gave Connally an opportunity to say something about that. Richard Valeriani has a report.
Connally spent more than 3 hours with Mr. Nixon and White House advisor Henry Kissinger, reporting on his recent trip to 15 countries. There was no word on what Connally's new presidential assignment will be. And when the former Treasury Secretary met with newsmen outside, there was more interest in domestic politics than international diplomacy. Connally virtually ended speculation that he will be the Republican vice presidential candidate, and he also said he will support President Nixon this fall rather than supporting his own party's candidate.
But I found myself, frankly, much more in accord with President Nixon's views, his objectives, his accomplishments, than I do with the articulated views of Mr. McGovern, Senator McGovern. Those views I find in many cases all too isolationist in character and also too radical in character. Here again, the Democrats have a nominee who supported the Tonkin Gulf resolution, who supported the actions of the Democratic presidents with respect to the war in Vietnam until such time as a Republican president came in. Now, there is hope for negotiated peace in South Vietnam under the circumstances, but not, in my judgment, so long as the Democratic nominee, just a few months before the election, says that within 90 days after I'm inaugurated, I'll bring all the troops home and I'll bring home the prisoners of war. When obviously a president of the United States has no capacity, has no power to bring home prisoners of war in the hands of the North Vietnamese. It's an unfair statement. It's a statement that frankly sabotages the efforts of this administration and of the peace negotiators in Paris to try to bring the war to an end on a negotiated basis.
Connally's performance here is a pretty good indication of what's to come in the presidential election campaign. Current White House strategy calls for Mr. Nixon to run principally on presidential performance, leaving the sock-it-to-him speeches to various stand-ins while he, the president, tries to remain above the battle. Richard Valeriani, NBC News at the Western White House.
In Saigon today, the South Vietnamese command admitted that its troops have not yet entered Quang Tri City, much less recaptured it. Today, there was heavy fighting northeast of the city, and the command said advance units are only 500 yards away from the city limits. Here's the latest on the World Chess Championship in Iceland. Bobby Fischer asked the sponsors to have Boris Spassky play the game, forfeited to Spassky because Fischer didn't show up to play it. An appeals committee said no. In Northern Ireland, the fighting between British troops and guerrillas, both Protestant and Catholic, continued today. 8 people have been killed in the last 24 hours. The chief security officer for the Atomic Energy Commission has been put on leave without pay. Charges have been made that William Riley of Silver Spring, Maryland, borrowed more than $100,000 from other AEC employees and didn't pay it back. The stock markets ended the week today with gains in light trading. The Dow Jones Industrials went up more than 5 points. On the New York Exchange, the average price of a share gained 19 cents. On the American Exchange, the average price of a share gained 5 cents.
I'm helping Ed keep fit. He does the exercise. I give him buckwheats. Buckwheat's High Nutrition Cereal. Compare this 1 ounce serving with this bacon and egg breakfast. Buckwheat's with milk has 50% of the protein, more vitamins, more minerals, only half the calories.
Tastes great. Buckwheat and maple.
High Nutrition Buckwheat's. Helps you feel like a million bucks. Buckwheat's.
One a.m. I've got to get some sleep. Been up so long and still don't feel drowsy. Okay, Marcia, you really tried. But once in a while, there's a night when you really feel you need a sleeping aid. When you really feel you need Nitol. I follow directions, so I know Nitol's safe. And it works so well for me. It helps make me drowsy. I don't often need Nitol, but I'm sure glad it's here.
Finally tonight, we must report the death of Aline Saarinen, a correspondent for NBC News. Aline died last night in New York City after a long illness. She was 58. She was one of the most distinguished people in her business. Those who saw her on this program, the Today Show, her own program, and many specials know that. Those of us who worked with her, and that was a privilege, we know it better. Before she came to NBC, she had been managing editor of Art News magazine, associate art editor and critic for the New York Times, and had an enviable reputation as a print journalist. Her last assignment for NBC was as chief of the Paris Bureau. She was twice married, the second time to the late Eero Saarinen, the architect. She was tasteful, intelligent, and debonair. It was a pleasure to be in her company, and her work was a lesson to us all in its clarity and perception. We will miss Aline very much. And on that sad note, we leave Miami Beach. Garrick Utley will be reporting tomorrow night from New York, and I'll be back on Monday. Good night for NBC News.